Diamond for diamond, no one compares with Mervis. At Mervis Diamond Importers, our natural diamonds come straight from the mines in Africa, and our mermaid lab-grown diamonds beat all others for quality and value. Come view our brilliant diamonds, both natural and lab-grown. Mervis diamonds are so bright and full of fire, they will blow you away. So will the affordable prices. Our diamonds may steal your heart, but not your wallet. See our mermaid lab-grown diamonds and learn how to get a larger diamond for less. You can get a bigger mermaid lab-grown diamonds than you ever thought possible. And with Mervis financing, you can enjoy up to 5 years to pay with zero interest. Our generous full-value trader policy and our lifetime warranty program easily make Mervis your first choice. When you mount a world-class Mervis diamond into a designer ring from our huge collection, there is no equal. Mervis Diamond Importers. For an appointment, call 800-HER-LOVE or go to mervisdiamond.com. Again, that's 800-HER-LOVE or go to mervisdiamond.com.
Hello and welcome to Film Companion. You've tuned in to an exciting new interview podcast with Anupama Chopra. To catch more of what we do, visit us on www.filmcompanion.in.
Hi, Karan. It's so lovely to have you back on Film Companion.
Thank you, Anu. It's been very long. I haven't been on any interview actually for over a year and a half. I feel like I may have lost touch.
So, Karan, I want to start with something that Ted Sarandos said to me. I asked him, what is similar between storytellers all over the world? And he said that, in fact, apart from cinema, the one art form that he really respects is stand-up comedy. And he said what's common in storytellers around the world, as well as stand-up comics, is that they see something that other people don't see. So stand-up comics see something that's very funny in a situation. Storytellers will see something that's funny or sad or sinister. Is that something you agree with? And before doing One Mic Stand, did you ever feel an affinity with stand-up comedians?
So I want to be very honest with you, Anu. I'm not a laugher at all. Like, I don't laugh. Even when I'm laughing on Coffee with Karan, sometimes I think I'm play acting that laughter because I feel I must make the guest believe they're funny or they're saying something. But I'm not a LOL type of person. Like, I don't go ha 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 laughing like you've seen the audiences at stand-ups. So for me, I'm not an avid viewer of comedy at all. Though I feel as a filmmaker, you're always, when you narrate a film, you know, which has its comic beats, its humorous beats, you're actually doing stand-up, you're actually doing a sit-down, because when you're actually narrating, and I've done that several times, you know, I've done that time and again with every film, and many of my films have had some humorous parts, you know, which when you narrate, you kind of understand and gauge whether your joke is landing. A lot of what I believe stand-up comedy, and I know enough because I watch enough to know what I'm saying. I'm just not an avid viewer, which is an irony because I'm now doing this stand-up set piece on my own. But when I watch, I believe that comedy comes a lot from your observations of life. Like, I find humor in almost everything. I find humor even in a funeral. Like, you know, I'll find something to, maybe it's to distract my emotional energy at that time. But sometimes life just presents you with really funny things. It's for you to observe it, notice it, make it into a story, and then narrate it. That's what comedy is. It's how you can actually look at every situation around you and put it into comic perspective, which is what I think the best stand-up comedians do across the world, is they draw either culturally or from their own family or their life. A lot of them get very personal about their families. And, you know, because I can say hilarious things about my own mother, you know, because which I'm going to do. I'm going to share about, like, she's a savage mom. Like, you know, she's literally a savage mom. Like, she says the darnest things to me.
I asked my mom which part of my face requires any fillers. She said, your face is fine. What about your scripts? They need fillers.
And I feel like if I keep talking about her every day, I have all my screenplays and set pieces ready for comedy. So yeah, so to me, I think to answer your question, that I do not have an affinity, but I have a desire to explore this territory because it's a big moment in pop culture today, I believe. And you know, my desire to always be relevant remains. And that's why I want to join in on this bandwagon as well.
But Karan, like this bandwagon is brutal. Stand-up comedy is supposed to be the hardest thing to do because you're putting yourself out there. Now, of course, you are very comfortable in front of the camera. You are a very successful television show host. You've acted, you've done commercials. So is it an extension of the same or was it scary?
No, actually, I don't have stage fright, and I don't, and I definitely have no problem dealing with things not working out, because, you know, Lord knows that I've had enough criticism in my life for me not to take it in the right spirit, you know. So what will happen? Yeah, a joke won't land at worst, you know. It's like, I believe what I'm nervous about, because contrary and very different from telling a story in your own house, it's very isolating to be on stage, because everybody, the thing is, you're compelled to be funny. And the focus is on your humor. And the focus is on how you will make that joke land, and if it does land. So there's a fear that can come into your DNA while you're actually doing this. So I fear the joke's not landing, but I know that if they don't, I mean, at worst, I'll just fail at it. It'll be bad. People will, write really bad remarks and comments on social media. That happens anyway, Anu. So I'm okay with it. I'm okay with facing the flak if those things don't work out, because I anyway don't think that praise is something that I'm used to. So I'm okay with the flip side of it.
You know, you're also very sorted with criticism, Karan. I remember when Bombay Velvet didn't work. You know, you were like, the one time I tried to be an actor, I sort of, nobody offered me anything after that. And, you know, so you were very funny about it. I mean, clearly you don't take it to heart.
No, I don't take anything to heart anymore, Anu. I realize that if you take what people say to heart, you're never going to be able to climb any kind of cinematic or creative mountain. Like, you're not going to be able to do it, because you're just going to be constantly weighed down with all the baggage that social media gives you. I'm not at all. I'm not enjoying it. Please don't think that I'm some kind of crazy person who's enjoying this criticism on a daily basis. But I don't take it to heart, because things fail. Films fail. Like when Bombay Velvet failed, I felt terrible for the people who made it. For me, I mean, I just got really sad that really no one asked me. Until now, Anu, it's been 7 years. I haven't received a single offer, a single acting offer. And that pains me, because I just believe that I couldn't have been that bad, that not one person.
You were actually pretty good. I saw the film recently again, and you were really good as Kaizad Kambata.
Yeah, as Kaizad Kambata. So my thing is, not even one bad script came my way, Anu. Forget like a good film or a credible film. Even a bad film that I could say, like, no, I don't have the dates. I was so dying to use this line that I hear all the time from actors. It just never came my way. It just never came my way. So yes, I don't take things to heart, and I won't take this to heart if it doesn't work. But I want to try, because I believe that, you know, relevance is something that I believe everybody who's reaching at least my.
Why settle for clothes that don't fit when you can unleash your main character energy with a perfectly fitted custom suit from Indochino? Visit Indochino.com to start designing or book a showroom appointment. Use promo code WOMEN for 10% off.
Age in the entertainment industry.
Set summer in motion with the most electrifying Honda vehicles yet. Like the CR-V and Accord, with available hybrid powertrains designed to deliver more thrilling performance and more innovative tech. Summer's here. Make every adventure more electrifying with Honda. For a limited time, well-qualified buyers can get a 3.9% APR on a 2023 Honda Accord Hybrid or 2023 CR-V Hybrid.
Buy online, reserve from select dealers, or visit your local Honda dealer today.
See dealer for financing details.
Should always work towards being relevant. Like, that's the one thing that the only thing I take in the right spirit when there's so much criticism is, like, love me, hate me, don't be indifferent to me. Like, you know, the only thing that I can say with positivity is that I definitely don't warrant indifference. And I think that's a good thing. So that's the big silver lining in my playbook.
You know, Karan, your mentor, Sumukhi Suresh, is a very fierce, no holds barred comic. What is the most important lesson she taught you?
Exactly what I was just saying. She said, listen, be yourself. Like, things will, just make sure that you're the best salesman. She said, and salesman is like, you mean you have to sell a joke. She says, and relentlessly be at it. If it doesn't land the first time, it will land the second time. So don't let it go. She said, be relentless. Just don't crumble under the pressure of no reaction from the audience, because that will happen. It's happened to the best of stand-up comedians. And she says, just make sure that you're the best salesman. And she says, you know, a lot of times we are also in an environment, Anu, and it's important for me to say this, that we have to really self-censor ourselves, because there is so much worry about the ramifications of what you'll say. So while I have massive bubbles in my head about so many things, I can't articulate it. There are so many things I want to say in my set piece, but I feel very restricted. I'm not for any other reason, because I believe I will offend someone somewhere, and I really don't want to, because I'm done with offending people. Like, you know, I'm just done. I just want to focus on just making my movie without any drama around me. So I really feel the need to curb and curtail a lot of what I'm wanting to say, you know, and that is the only thing that actually saddens me more than anything else, because I believe that I can take a joke on myself, but I know lots of others can't. You know, I believe we're a very sensitive industry. And I know that if 10 people said something, you know, about me with good humor and good intentions of just being, making sure it's just funny, I would take it on my chin. But I know a lot of other people can't, at least not in my fraternity. I don't think we have a sense of humor.
Yeah, yeah. But are there any, so these are outside sort of censoring kind of forces. Do you have any taboo areas that you think I can't go there?
Many. Anything that's not about me is a taboo area, I believe. So I'm going to talk about I, me, myself. It's a little bit of a megalomaniac set piece. Of course, I say this because I'm actually poking a lot of fun at my own self. It's like a self-roast, I think, this stand-up that I'm going to do, because I'm so worried, Anu. I'm so worried about talking about anything else. It's fine. It's okay, because we are going through an anxious-ridden time in any case in the world because of the pandemic. And I don't want to add to any more noise than there already is. So I'm saying safest person is let me offend myself, because I am not filing an FIR on myself.
Tell me, Karan, you said it is an anxious time. And I think last year was very, very difficult for, you know, the world at large, for the film industry, and also for you personally. How did you sort of stay resilient and get through it?
I think there's nothing like, I thought about this, and I thought about like how it was important for me to kind of stay sane and stay completely solid through these times. And I just kept thinking that I can't afford to crumble, and I can't afford to kind of just collapse, because I also live with a 78-year-old mom whose emotions mean the world to me. And if she saw me and kind of, you know, and even my children kind of drew that energy from me, then I won't be servicing the two most important relationships in my life, that of being a father and that of being a son. It was that drove me to actually kind of not perhaps, store it all within, but also be really like develop really thick skin. And which I did, because I felt like there were two ways I could deal with this. One is succumb, and the other is attack within. And I think I just chose the latter only because that made more sense. Like I could attack the situation with all my might and actually just stay in control, which is what I did. I did it because of, as I said, family, as I did it for my kids and for my mom, because I don't think they would have liked to see me. There were many vulnerable days. I have to say there were many, there were sad moments. There were heartfelt moments where you felt like very lost and almost like you felt like you were lonely. And I have a support system around me of tremendous family and friends, but you do get a little lonely, you know, when you feel alienated and you feel isolated and it's lonely. The only way to do it is really to have a strong mind. And I tried to kind of achieve that over time. And I have to say that in these last year and a half, 2 years, I think that I'm a stronger individual. And I think I'm also a lot more ready and prepared to face consequences of life.
Tell me, Karan, there is so much going on in your life. Apart from One Might Stand, you're also doing another television show. And you're also directing a feature film, Rocky or Rani Ki Prem Kahani. How in the world do you find time to fit in so many things in the same 24 hours?
So I think that multitasking is an art that I have, I think, perfected. It's like I can do it. I believe I can maximize those active 15 hours of work in the day. I can do them really efficiently because, frankly, I love everything I do. Whether it's the interview I'm giving you right now, or it's the stand-up set piece that I'm about to shoot for tomorrow, or it's the prep for the film that I'm doing, I think there's enough time that you can make. You just have to be a little more managed, like in terms of you manage your time and you can do it all. And I think my brain functions when there are five things happening at the same time. If you give me just one thing, I think I'll just get bored, and that boredom will penetrate into that one thing I'm meant to do. So I think give me five things. I work very well under pressure, under stress, under all kinds of diverse circumstances. I'm crazy like that. You know, it's like you give me nothing to do and I'm a mess. You give me five things to do and I'm really on my A game.
Karan, I have to ask you this as you know, somebody who's creating so much content, making so many films. So I did a list, Karan, of sort of my favorites of 21 so far. And there was just one Hindi film on it, Gili Puchi, from an anthology that you produced.
Right.
So as somebody who is, you know, a leader in the film industry, why do you think the Hindi film industry is in such a slump?
I think it's because the best writing is happening digitally right now. And I think that so many of our best writers, firstly, the big mistake we've done before this was we never empowered writers. As a fraternity, it's the biggest. Post Salim Javed, we never learned how important how important it is to make superstars into writers into superstars. We didn't do that. The last superstar writers were Salim and Javed. You know, we lost 5 decades because we became obsessed with superstars and filmmakers, not realizing that the true soul of a narrative comes from the writing table. And if you don't empower those community of people, they will wither away, go into various other jobs, professions, verticals. We lose them, and that's what happened. We lost all the best writers. It's only post 2010 where, you know, you saw collaborations like Raju and Abhijat, or Juhi Chaturvedi and Sujit Sarkar. You saw this collaboration between writer and director. And today I'm happy to report that we have some tremendous writers in our country, and they're all in some of the best writers room for digital shows, but they're not writing feature films because they, I think, just don't feel that they get that kind of acknowledgement that they should get. And if the fraternity realizes this, that they have to empower writers, trust me, our content will change. I feel like the last year and a half, you're absolutely right. There hasn't been very like great things that have come out that you have completely swept you in the last 2 years. Yes, few films and few content pieces that you may have seen and like, but I feel like largely there was disappointment, you know, in terms of what we saw. And I know that we need to kind of up that. And I keep saying that it all goes back to the writing table. If we do not change the way we can perceive, structure, nurture, and platform writers, we will never ever be able to reach our gold standard in terms of content creation.
Yeah. But Karan, there's also so much conversation about, you know, what happens now? Will people come back to the theater? What will they come back to see? What is your sense of it?
I think that, you know, we can never, ever, ever, and I believe that, and I'm not saying this poetically or like as a cinema dreamer. I'm saying this with great clarity. People will all come back and flock to cinema halls when there is an air of safety, and that will happen in the near future. There will be a feeling of going back in, because there's cinema has always been a celebration for us. It's a community feeling. We watch films in groups of friends, with our families, in larger groups. Like, we just like to do that. It's not an individual process. That's something that happens very rarely. We're such a community feeling kind of country that we like to do that. And cinemas are not going anywhere. They're going to be here. But yes, what will happen, I believe, is that the big event films and the high concept films will be the films that you'll flock to cinema halls for. All the other genres and subgenres in the midst between these two pillars, high concept could be like for example, Badhai Ho is high concept. A big event is like Suryavanshi,
sure.
You know, is a big event film. High concept could also be 83 because it's a true story based, you know. So those are high concept, big event. Those are the two pillars that will bring cinemas into its complete flourish. But other genres, And, you know, and I mean like intense, smaller thrillers or horrors, rom-coms, dramedies. I think that a lot of those will actually be straight to digital. And I believe that perhaps that is going to be, there is going to be that content divide between platforms. Some that will go straight to cinema halls and do amazing business. And I believe that the theaters will always flourish. I see this very positively and with a lot of awareness. But I also believe that we are going through a digital revolution. I believe that all the digital platforms are going to go 10 into 10x of themselves as of today, because there is definitely a demand for what we can view at home. So I believe that it will be driven by your content. You'll have to kind of cherry pick where you're going to send what and where to. And but I also say this to everyone who's anxious about cinemas. I say this with strength and awareness and knowledge that cinemas are going nowhere. We're going to go to packed halls very soon. And it's me being optimistic, me also being realistic, both at the same time.
I really hope, because there's nothing like the movies.
Yes.
So does that mean, Karan, that stars are going to be even more important because there's such a draw for the cinema?
I think that eventually stars are wonderful when they're actors. Mm-hmm. I think when stars are actors, that combination is unmatchable. It's unbeatable. It's when stars are not performing as artists on celluloid, on the silver screen, that's where the problems. What we need is solid artists. And if they carry the baggage of immense stardom, that's fantastic. That's that's the icing on the cake. But it's important for stars to be actors today as well. It's very important. We can no longer treat them as two separate entities and forces, because that doesn't work anymore.
And that's good for the industry too, right?
Yes, yes, absolutely, absolutely.
Okay. Well, tell me finally, what can you tell us about Rocky and Rani Ki Prem Kahani before you leave? Give us one little thing to go with.
It's a family dramedy. Anu, it's not a rom-com. It's not really quintessentially at heart. It's a family dramedy. It's got comedy. There's love. It's a family movie. It's a film about their grandparents, their parents, and themselves. It's not just about, it is of course Rocky or Rani Ki Prem Kahani, but it's also about Rocky and Rani's grandparents. It's about Rocky and Rani's parents. So there's a lot of interplay of relationships in the film. And I'm really excited actually to work with cinema veterans. There's Dharamji and Jayaji and Shabanaji all together. I haven't worked with Dharamji and Shabanaji ever, nor has the company. And I'm vastly excited to actually be able to direct them. Many ticks on my bucket list. With Jayanti, of course, I've done a lot of work before, and I'm excited to be back with her on set. More than I think anything else, I'm just excited to kind of be back on set. I'm just excited to be directing a feature film. I haven't done that since 2016, and I can't wait to actually picturize those songs. I get visions and visuals every day of me being on a set and a song is being, I haven't shot a song in 6.5 years now, and I really missed it, because to me, that's the best part of Indian cinema has been its music. To me, it's such a big part. And you and I have chatted about this several times. It's my go-to even now. I travel with my Karma box everywhere, and I'm just revisiting melody, and I can't wait to shoot a song. I want to see Ranveer and Alia dance, and I'm just dying to dance with them.
Yes, that just sounds so joyful. I want to be in the theater already watching it. Yes. But Karan, I have to, before I let you go, ask that, you were literally a few weeks from starting Takht when the world went into lockdown. Is that a film? It just sounded like such a fascinating movie. And that scale and that canvas was so epic. Is that a film you might revisit, or is it going to be the one that got away?
No, that movie I'm going to make right after Rocky or Rani. I can't let that get away. That film is a piece of my heart. It's got 2.5 years of my prep work on it. We prepped for 2.5 years. We were raring to go. I still remember we were starting on the 24th of April when the pandemic hit us in March. And because that film was so vast, voluminous, and large in scale, on a daily basis, that film needed 1,000 people on set. It was that kind of film. It was an epic period film based in the Mughal era. It has the most amazing, that again is a family film. It's based in that era, but it's about the interrelationships of that era and those people and those people that existed in the real world. And it's for me, I will always say, Rocky Aur Rani Ki Prem Kahani is my excitement project, but Takht is my passion project. And I'm going to, and you know, you can't run away from your passion. So right after I've done with my excitement, I'll head towards my passion.
Sounds great, because you once described it to me as the K3G of the Mughal era. And I was like, I have to see this.
It is exactly that, updated, hopefully. There will be changes 2.5 decades later in the syntax, hopefully. But otherwise, it is exactly that.
Can't wait to see that and to see you as a stand-up comic, Karan. Thank you so much. And, stay with the interviewing thing. It's not so bad.
It's not so bad. And you're not so bad either, Anu. Take care. Lots of love. Thank you.
If you liked what you just tuned into, then subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, Stitcher and Radio Public. You can now also follow Film Companion on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook and YouTube.